Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke with Melissa Elson on Divine Intimacy Radio, your haven of rest, your radio haven of rest, radio retreat, maybe, where you get to divert your mind and heart away from all of the craziness going on in the world and turn to the source of peace, the source of peace, turn to Christ, turn to His wisdom, the wisdom that He reveals in and through His saints and His church. And today we're talking about a new book called Into the Deep, Finding Peace in Prayer. I was grateful to write this book for Matthew Kelly, really designed to both help people start a deeper prayer life, reinvigorate a prayer life that may have been falling backwards a bit, help folks to understand how to overcome difficulties in prayer. You still go get it over at spiritualdirection.com in the resources section. But Melissa, last show we ended talking about why pray, and we just put our toes into the topic, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you said something from the beginning of the book struck you under the section of why pray. What is it that really had an impact on you?
Well, just God's personal love for us, that it's a love that's between you and Him. It's not just this general love that He has for people. It's a specific love for you.
And what does that mean? What do you mean by that? Specific love for you?
Well, He loves you individually as much as He can. You know, so, every person as an individual receives His love totally.
As opposed to what? Like this sort of generic corporate, oh yeah, God loves everybody thing.
Right.
That doesn't really necessarily resonate with the heart.
Well, it's not personal. It's a generic, general love, which you may believe or you may not believe. It doesn't mean as much to
right.
you as a personal love.
Yeah, I imagine. So if I was standing up in front of an audience and I said, love God's people, love you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would be true, but it would be radically different if I looked someone in the eye and said, you know, I love you as a brother in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sorry for your suffering. I want to help or whatever, right? That would reach down into that person's soul and grab them in a way that this general statement of love might not.
Right.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes. And it's as deep, it's deeper than a love we have, like for your spouse or the person that you love most in the whole world and that loves you most. It's beyond that relationship. So if you think of just the most you could ever love a person, it's just infinitely more than that. And His love for us is infinitely more than that. And it's shown through His Son and the
what
sacrifice.
He did for us.
Yeah. He was killed for our sins so that
right.
we could enjoy heaven with Him, life with Him eternally, eternal bliss of this constant relationship of love. It has been, I guess, in my life, hard for me to really understand that the love is that personal. Because you know, God loves you. You're told that as a child all the way, you know, through
yeah.
adulthood, God loves you. But what does that mean? God loves me. Well, yeah, well, you know, my teacher loves me, you know, and my brother loves me, and my mother loves me.
We kind of abuse that word,
don't
we? Love
me, you know. So what is love? And I think our understanding of love, humanly speaking, is flawed. It's very flawed because we're very selfish in our love. And that's our human nature, unfortunately, has that tendency to have that flawed view of love. But His love, God's love, is a perfect love. It's an unconditional love. It's a selfless, totally giving love. And He doesn't need to do it. He has no need for our love. He's just pouring out love so that we can be with Him and experience His love. It's the generosity, it's the charity of His love it's so beautiful. And that's our recent Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, wrote his encyclical, I believe, on God is love. And to understand that it takes a while to really absorb that reality. God is love. He doesn't just love. He is love. That's His whole being is love. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between how we understand it and the reality of His love.
So now this didn't all obviously come to you in a flash necessarily at one moment. What, have there been big moments where you realize, oh, this is different. This is really, he really does love me and desire me individually. He actually created in Ephesians, it says that, I think the passage says that before the foundations of the world, God created Melissa for an eternal relationship of love. Does your name in there?
Is that in? It's not written. No,
it's not in the epistle, or or that he.
I must have skipped over that. Yeah.
Yeah, or that he wove you in your together in your mother's womb, as we know some of the Old Testament passages reveal, which are so beautiful. But how did you come to that recognition that his love is beyond just this generic loving this stuff that he created thing?
Because I got to know him, and I got to know what he has done for me, and I started to experience it. Well, as we were just talking about St. Ignatius and his discernment of spirits, my eyes were opened to recognizing God in moments throughout the day, in little things that happen to me or in my life, and putting together connections of how he truly loved me, and even, you know, things that happen, and then you look back in life and you realize, oh, I didn't think that was a good thing that happened to me at the time, but it was, you know, and you can put together the puzzle pieces and realize how he's working in your life in an intimate way.
And just to keep the pattern going of surprising you about things I'm going to ask you on the show. Now, you talk a lot about that adoration event in college, but have there been other key moments of awakening? You know, you talk about that awakening, being more aware of God's presence. What is it that drew you to this recognition, if you can articulate it? Or is it more subtle over time, little tiny? My wife, I've asked her this question, and I interviewed a lot of people for this book regarding this approach to prayer that I recommend in the book. And she said that her revelation or knowledge of God or getting to know God has come in a lot of tiny little sparks. Not like a big flash, you know.
Right.
Mine was a big flash and then a lot of tiny little sparks and then some mid-sized flashes, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, it's funny because my spiritual director asked me the same exact question. And I had to think and think and think. And I think I would have to attribute it to the same way as your wife. It's just tiny little sparks throughout life. I think EWTN was a big factor. My brother was a big factor because he went to college first. He went to the same college. We went to Auburn, and they have a Catholic student organization that was just phenomenal. And he started learning more about the faith. Well, that put him on fire. And he started telling me things that he's learning. And I'm still in high school. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. I can't wait to get there, you know. And I went to a Catholic high school. And even at that moment in time, I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm looking for different ways to get to know God. And it just wasn't. You know, I wasn't on fire like my brother, but it sparked something. He started watching EWTN and started, you know, trying to evangelize more. And then that sparked something in me to watch EWTN and what's on here that he's, you know, finding that's so fascinating. And then you get to know more, you know, it just sort of takes off and it's just little things, you know, you get introduced to different ways of prayer and like the Divine Mercy Novena. Had never heard of that before, and then got introduced to that, and then I realizing the mercy of God, you know, just these little things that clue you in to his love and how big it is. It's not just a generic human love for another person. You
Fascinating. Know? Well, thanks for sharing that. God bless Mother Angelica and AWTN. There's so many stories like that. There's probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of stories like that of people who had their faith deepened by EWTN. What we're doing now on the radio is a blessing, a co-production of EWTN and spiritualdirection.com. So you said, as you were reading the text to prepare for the show, that something sparked you regarding that personal. Is there anything else you wanted to share that specifically touched you from the text? One of the things we talk about is St. Augustine's comment or reflection that you've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it rests in you. I find that to be powerfully compelling. What's interesting about that statement is that it was written more than 1,000 years ago and has yet to fade. And the reason why is it that when people read that you've made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Why is it that that resonates over time across cultures? Doesn't matter if you're Filipino or African or American or South, or you're from Costa Rica. You know, doesn't matter where you're from, that phrase speaks to every heart, so much so that it's one of the most well-known phrases in Christianity in the Catholic world.
It's beautiful because it's true.
Right.
Because you know that no matter how hard we try, we can look everywhere on this earth for happiness and for peace and for love, but we're not going to be satisfied or content until we find Christ Jesus. Our hearts will never be settled and happy and peaceful and joyous until we find him.
Now, and the other part of that, which is also just as important and an answer to the question of why pray, is that relationship has to be cultivated. So you can make a kind of a yes to him. Let's say it's a light yes, you know, like a light cola or something like that, right?
Right.
It's not wholehearted, but it's real and it's sincere. And he'll take that and he'll begin to draw you in. But if you don't cultivate that yes through prayer, mm-hmm. It's just like if you said, your spouse said, will you marry me? And you thought, well, you know, he's a decent looking guy. And, you know, I know he's a hard worker, so he'll take care of me. Yeah, yeah. I don't have any better offers. Yes, I'm in, right? Not that you ever said that or, you know, but I'm in. Well, now that marriage could become something quite glorious, couldn't mm-hmm. it? Even if the initial yes was kind of weak or whatever. Now, this is totally countercultural what we're talking about here. I know a guy who had an arranged marriage who has an incredible relationship with his wife, believe it or not, in our day and time. he's from Indian culture. So that yes can be cultivated into something beautiful, but that yes, even if it's strong at the beginning, can also deteriorate into something that almost like it never happened before. Mm. How can that happen? Well, just like in a relationship, if we don't build, if we don't fight to develop that intimacy, our love will wane. You know, people talk about falling out of love. I think that's the biggest bunch of baloney in the world. It's like, you know, if you fell out of love, it's because you let yourself fall. Right. You know, you didn't work at it and you thought it was just supposed to be automatic. It's time for a break.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
So we'll be back in a minute and we'll keep talking about why pray and into the deep, finding peace through prayer.
Enjoy learning about the wisdom of the saints on Divine Intimacy Radio? If so, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers programs to help you dive deeper into the wisdom of the saints in order to grow in your own spiritual development. The Avila Institute School of Spiritual Formation offers courses on topics such as discernment of spirits, spiritual direction, and the spirituality of the various saints. The Avila Institute has helped countless students grow in their relationship with Christ and their understanding of the faith. Students testify time and time again that the Avila Institute has a profound impact on their spiritual lives. Classes in the School of Spiritual Formation are one night per week, and you can attend live or watch the recorded videos. You can see a list of upcoming courses and apply by visiting our website at avila-institute.com. That's avila-institute.com and selecting academics.
The Holy Father's prayer intention for the month of June is that national leaders may firmly commit themselves to ending the arms trade, which victimizes so many innocent people.
This is Dan Burke back with Melissa Elson on Divine Intimacy Radio talking about why pray. And we're using Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer, a new book on prayer, as the jumping off point for our discussion. You can find that book at spiritualdirection.com under the resources tab. But we're talking about why pray. And one important aspect of prayer I think is very much missed in our time is the idea that God has determined means through which his grace comes to us, right? Mm-hmm. And as a norm, when you look at the entire history of salvation, Old Testament or New, he always mediates his grace through some means that is familiar to us or regularly or constantly or predominantly, whichever phrase most is most accurate for my theologian friends listening in who are going to call me up afterwards and correct me. But the so he mediates the means of grace related to reconciliation through a priest. It's funny, I was on an airplane recently, and I had this great guy sitting next to me. He's a black man, Pentecostal, very excited about his faith. And he was asking me about what I was reading or something. Mm-hmm. And so we started talking about Catholicism. And he kept saying, it was the funniest thing, he kept saying, "You bless me." "You bless me," over and over, because what I was doing was explaining, well, I said, here's probably what you heard about the Catholic Church. Here's the actual truth about what the church teaches. And then here, and one of the things we talked about was the mediation of forgiveness through a priest. I said, now, you know, the Epistle of James says, confess your sins one to another, right? He said, yeah, of course. So, well, and in Timothy, it says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, right? Yeah, that's right. Well, so there's only one mediator, but he can delegate his authority, can he? You can delegate your authority. He was the CEO of a greeting card company that he had started on his own. He's a great American story of success and building himself up. And so I said, you can delegate your authority to someone beneath you to act in your behalf to get something done, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. So, well, that's what happens in the confessional, is that we have a man who's been given the authority by God, and that happened in the upper room. And that happened also when the Lord gave us the keys to the kingdom, where we could forgive or withhold forgiveness of sins. I said, that's in Matthew, right? So he's doing all, so what you've been taught is that the priest forgives the sins, which isn't the truth. It's the mediation. So all of that to say, a little bit of a bunny trail. But the point being is that God uses means to communicate his grace, and he does that through the priest in the sacrament of reconciliation, or he does it through the priest in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But when it comes to what God wants to accomplish in the world, what we fail to recognize is that he desires to use our prayer to bring about change in the world. What does that mean? That means there are some things that will not change if we do not pray. Mm. There is some grace that will not be poured out because we failed to pray. And to me, that's very powerful. I had heard it one time, and then it was reiterated through one of the readings in Divine Intimacy, which our show is named after, which is an extraordinary book by Father Gabriel, St. Mary Magdalene. But there was a reflection on prayer, and it was talking about the contemplative life, because the book is Carmelite spirituality. And it speaks to, in a sense, why cloistered religious are so important. Because they're spending all of their time praying, mm-hmm. and releasing, in a sense, graces that God has determined will only come through their prayers, mm-hmm. on the world. God help us if cloistered contemplative life ever went away. The world would be in big trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But also for your children, for your husband, for your relationship with your spouse, for your family, their salvation, for the world around us, the difficulties, the political situations, all of that. God has chosen us as the means through which that grace flows in and through prayer. And when we don't pray, those graces don't come.
Right. I'm thinking of St. Monica, mm-hmm. and how her whole life was spent in prayer for her son, because he was, as you know, St. Augustine was not on the right path for a long time.
That's an understatement.
He confessed in his book, The Confessions. He explains how bad his life was off the course.
Yeah.
But her persistence in prayer and her faith, and had she not, let's say she just gave up after, you know, 5-10 years, she's like, God must not hear me. He's not hearing me. I'm just going to stop. No, she persisted. I mean, she went through her whole life until the end of when she was older and her son was older. He finally saw the error of his ways and came to Christ.
And so what was happening in that whole story that you've summarized as she's praying for him? What's happening? And so people can get the wrong idea of prayer. You know, it's like, God, make, you know, if she didn't say this to God, I'm fairly certain, make Augustine a Christian. Make him, right? You know, if she probably was begging him to save him. So what's happening as she's praying those prayers? The grace of God is falling on St. Augustine. It's constantly calling to him. The Lord is calling to Augustine through that reality. He's saying, come to me. This is false. This is true. Come to me. This is false. This is true. And the second she stops praying, right? Mm-hmm. What happens? Less of that reality is coming about in St. Augustine's life because God has chosen her as the means of his grace coming to influence Augustine toward himself and then to bring him to salvation, if that makes sense.
Yes, and then explain a little bit of a clarifying statement about the type of prayer she was praying. It was in communion with the will of God.
Sure.
Because, of course, God wants Augustine to be with him.
Right.
So she's not asking, like, for a big new house for Augustine. Can you please, you know, give him a Ferrari?
Yeah.
It wasn't around at the time, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe a really nice horse or something like that. Anyway, but her prayer was with God's will.
Yeah.
And she was, of course, I'm sure, because she is a saint, began her prayer, you know, through your will. You know, let it be with your will.
Your will be done.
Your will be done in his life. I beg you, you know, let him come to you, because that's what God wants. It's a true prayer of the heart to join her son's heart to God's.
And so
it's not just like, you know, a frivolous thing she's asking for. That's what I'm
exactly. Well, and you're echoing Jesus' teaching, of course, in the gospel, right? If you ask whatever in my name and I'll give it to you. But of course, it presumes the reality that we're asking for things that are in keeping with his will.
Right.
And a lot of times when we start praying, asking for things that need to be done and good things, whatever, our will is changed. And mm-hmm. because that's the nature of relationship. We get to know him better and know what he desires. There are certain prayers I don't pray and can't pray because I know that's not his will for my life. Well, how do I know that? I know that. I just know it because mm-hmm. I've prayed and I've experienced his blessing, if you will. I've experienced his chastisement or his correction. And I know there are certain things that paths that I can't go down that are not my calling, even if they're even good things, because of the way he's worked with me. So why pray? We talked about personal relationship and that draw, that reality, that beauty. We've talked about the grace of God not flowing if we don't pray, that prayer is his chosen means to change the world, to change our hearts, to change the hearts and minds of those around us toward him. Those are reasons to pray. There's another one that I think is really important, again, very neglected in our time, and that is justice. Mm-hmm. So most of what we've talked about, one is devotional kind of motivation to pray. The second is cooperation, a kind of cooperation with God as a motivation, or the absence of these great effects if we don't pray. This one, I think, is really important, and that is God deserves our prayers.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For all that he's done for us, one of the things I teach in the retreats that I give or the talks that I give is that we should give God the first fruits of our day, meaning it's a reflection a little bit on the Old Testament tithing that the people of God did when they were given a new harvest. And so whenever you had a new harvest, you would always bring the first of that harvest to God to show your dependence and recognition to God that without him you would have no harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So each day we're given a harvest as we wake up of another, I don't know however many hours we're awake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're given another 24-hour cycle to serve him, presumably, unless we're going to meet him face-to-face that day at some
right.
cutoff point. But so for me, it's a matter of justice. So when I get up every day, it to me is unjust, and the saints do teach this, doctors of the church do teach this, but to me personally, I have a deep sensibility of this reality. It is unjust for me not to recognize the Lord. So let's just say you're only beginning a prayer life. That recognition could be incredibly simple. It could be, Lord, I recognize your presence. Thank you for another day. Please help me to honor you today. You get up and get ready for work. That's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also better than if you give them a half hour or you give them 20 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour mm-hmm. or 2 hours. Whatever it is, that really is a honoring of him saying, you know, you deserve my praise. You gave your son on my behalf. You gave us through the sacrifice of your son both the efficacious and the reality of his sacrifice, but also the demonstration of your love, that witness of your love to us through him and what he did. And so how can I, in the face of such so great a love, not respond with, yeah, you deserve my attention.
Right.
You know, you deserve my attention. It's one of the reasons that we go to Mass every Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. It's just, Saint Thomas Aquinas in the Summa talks about prayer, and he even says that during prayer, if we allow for a distraction that we give into willfully, knowing that mm-hmm. we're doing it, it even rises to the level of sin.
Oh, wow.
Prayerlessness rises to the level of sin.
Wow.
Right? So it's not just a matter of, oh, I don't pray, that's not a sin. That's not true. Because by not giving ourselves to God in that act, if it is just that he receive it, it is unjust if we don't give it to him.
That's true.
So we can pray, of course, out of the better motivation of just that our hearts move to devotion and we want to give our lives to God. But we also, when we're really struggling, need to remember.
Yes. He deserves it.
And that's kind of a heavy reality, right?
Right, it is.
It's a heavy reality that we need to give ourselves to him in prayer.
Yes, and our time's up today. But until next time, may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
O God, creator of the universe, who extends your paternal concern over every creature and guides the events of history to the goal of salvation, we acknowledge your fatherly love when you break the resistance of mankind, and in a world torn by strife and discord, you make us ready for reconciliation. Renew for us the wonders of your mercy. Send forth your Spirit that he may work in the intimacy of hearts, that enemies may begin to dialogue, that adversaries may shake hands, and peoples may encounter one another in harmony. May all commit themselves to the sincere search for true peace, which will extinguish all arguments, for charity, which overcomes hatred, for pardon, which disarms revenge. Amen.